Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot is daf Yotchet, and we're smack bang in this incredible machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna about what the status is of Zika, and we finished analyzing yesterday the idea of Zika Bechtilo Paka and all of the implications for the understanding of Zika that come along with it. So today, Rav Huna Bar Chiya wants to bring a raya from our own Mishnah against Rav Yehuda Shita, because it says in the Mishnah that where you have actually the case of two brothers and little baby Levi was born afterwards, our favorite little story over here, so have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies, and now the Yavama is waiting for Yibam, and meanwhile, little Levi is born. And then the last piece, which is very confusing, and now for the first time we understand what's going on in this Mishnah. Osaba Ma'amar, if Shimon had done Ma'amar to Reuven's wife, he's, remember, a very good brother, and he does it all right, and he buys her this beautiful ring, and he presents it to her at the ceremony, and as we said yesterday, only the good die young, so naturally he dies the next morning, leaving behind the Ma'amar instead of a wife. So then what's the din? Then Shimon's own wife from before, she can only get chalitza and not yibum from Levi, little Levi. Why is that? Because midrabbanan, since there was Maimer, so then that means that since Maimer created a relationship of a tzora, because he is, Levi is an, as, is a, to him, it's a complete iser erava, because she was married to Reuven and she never got Yibam, so then it's an Asia Sakshaloha Yaba Olamo, so her Durabonan, Tzara, is also going to be usher to Levi. Now ask yourself, gentlemen, why does it say that he did Mimer? And if he didn't do Mimer, wasn't there Zika? And didn't you say that Zika creates a relationship of marriage? So why do I need Ma'amar to make it all so beautifully polished and a nice diamond ring? I don't need that. I should say, since there was Zika of Shimon to this woman, and Levi now has a Tzoras Erva B'Zika, which according to you, Zika is the same as marriage. So then he's not allowed to marry. Why do you need Ma'amar? Oh, wow, wait, this Mishnah really kills it, baby. So, time adavad ba ma'amar, halo avad ba ma'amar, what would be the din? That then little Levi would be able to go ahead and marry the second wife of Shimon, who now we're saying is a tzara, because she wouldn't be a tzara. Why? Why wouldn't she be a tzara? If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that yesh zika, so then even if Shimon never did maimer, she would be a tzoras eshes achiv, shelo haya ba'olamo, through the tzika alone. So how could you tell me it's only because of the ma'amar? Omar Rabbah, it's not only because of the ma'amar. It's not. Let me explain to you. The truth is that according to Rav Yehuda, even if he hadn't done ma'amar, there's no way that little Levi could ever marry this tzora because she was a tzora b'zika, even if Shimon never actually did yibum, okay? So who had then afagav the law of it ba'amar, the din would always be that he cannot be miyabim, Levi cannot be miyabim, he can only do chalitza. Shnia, but you know why the Mishnah mentioned Ma'amar? It mentioned Ma'amar to tell me that even though he made Ma'amar, you still need Chalitza. Why would I have thought otherwise? Isn't Ma'amar just the Drabanan? No. Not according to Beit Shammai, as we're going to see. So lafuke mi Beit Shammai, de amri Ma'amar kone kinyan gamur. According to Beit Shammai, Ma'amar works midiraisa, and therefore this would be a real tzoras erva, which, even though not according to Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai doesn't believe in the din of tzoras, but if we use the concept of Beit Shammai that Ma'amar makes a kinyan gomer, then that would mean that this is a tzoras erva midiraisa and would not even be chayiv in chalitza, right? Comes along the Mishnah to say that no, even if he did Ma'amar, not only if he did Ma'amar, even if he did Ma'amar, you still need to do Chalitza, and you can't get away without Chalitza. But if you didn't Ma'amar, do Ma'amar, you still would not be able to be Miyabim. That's the point. Beautiful. Okay, so now that would be, and by the way, even though normally we do not do things like this just for the sake of Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai, B'moka Beit Hillel, ain't a Mishnah, but we're going to see that there are many Shitas, not like Beit Shammai, many other Tanoim who agree that Mamar is Kena Kinyan Gomer. We're going to be talking about them. So therefore, we need to make it clear in this Mishnah, Mamar doesn't change anything about the Chalitza. And it's only going to change things if you hold Ein Zika. It'll change things vis-a-vis the Yibum. And if you hold the Ein Zika, it doesn't change anything. That's all. So Komash Melan, that Afal Pikein, you need to do a Chalitza because it's only Rabbana and not a Diraisa, and therefore it's not effective to be Mater. Another Kasha on Rav Yehuda. Eise Abaye. What are you going to do with the Mishnah that we had about Shnei Achim Bo'olam Echad? So you've got two brothers, again, Reuven and Shimon. That's the case that we had in our Mishnah. And Reuven dies, and the Shimon, the second brother, he was just about to give this girl a ring, to give her Mamar, and he didn't get a chance to give her Mamar before little Levi was born, and he drops dead. Okay. Now, what in the world the difference is whether he wanted to give her a ring or didn't want to give her a ring? I mean, what do I care about his good intentions? That the Gemara is going to ask later on. That we'll see after Shabbos, Amir Tzashem. But meanwhile, the point over here is, the Mishnah continues on to say, so now what have you got? You've got Reuven's widow, the Yavama, the original Yavama, and now you've got Shimon's widow. So you have two widows that are now falling before Levi. So over there, the first one that was Reuven, the first brother to die, she's got no issues at all with Levi because she's really Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. And therefore, we're not talking about Tzoras over here. And we're only talking about the direct woman. Okay, so obviously he can't marry her. She's really Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. But what about Shimon's widow? So it says over there in the Mishnah, you can do whatever you want. Levi was born before Shimon died, so therefore Levi does either Chalitz or Yibum. Now, my dear friend, if there is Zika, how can Levi go ahead and do either Yibum or Chalitza? Because Iambert Yesh Zika, so then Shimon's own widow is considered to be, through Zika at least, the Tzara of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. So then that means that this Mishnah is saying Beferish ain't Zika. So how can you paskel like Reb Yehuda Yesh Zika? How is Reb Yehuda running against the Mishnah itself? Says the Gemara. Yeah. This is a Braisa on the Mishnah, right? It's not Mamish a Mishnah. So that Braisa is actually identified as the Shita of Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Meir holds Ein Zika. Fine, but you can't ask a kasha from him. Wait a second. Is it true? I mean, it's obviously true because in the Mishnah it says, in the Braisa it says Rebbe Meir. But isn't that a contradiction, asks Abaye? That what, you're telling me Rebbe Meir holds Ein Zika? Misvirle le Rebbe Meir Ein Zika? But it's not. So remember the Stam Mishnah that we have. This was the Mishnah we've spoken about so many times, even though it's a Stam Mishnah, but we assume that a Stam Mishnah is said by Rebbe Meir. And over there we had the four brothers. Two of them were married to two sisters. The ones who were married to the two sisters died. And what's the din of those two sisters that fall to the other two brothers? You are not allowed to be miyabim them. Why not? Because now they are basically both zekukos to both brothers, and therefore each one of them is achot zekukato. So neither brother can go ahead and marry achot zekukato because of the concept of Zika, right? Now, if you're going to tell me that Rebbe Meir holds Ein Zika, what's the problem of marrying these two sisters? They're only connected to each other because of Zika. And if he doesn't hold of Zika, so let one brother take one and let one brother take the other. What's the big deal? So obviously Rebbe Meir must hold Yesh Zika. So how do you explain the bright that it says Rebbe Meir holds Ein Zika? Man, I'm very confused. If Hani Mitre Bati Ka'at, and there are two different families, one from Reuven, one from Shimon, so let one brother who survived, let him be Miyabim Reuven's widow, and let the other one take Shimon's widow. What's the problem? Where's the Isser? Truth is, says Rabbah, there's Absolutely, Rebbe Meir holds Ein Zika. The reason, now dig this, okay, here is the next application in a much broader sense of Osir Levato Mitzvat Yadmin that we mentioned earlier in the problem of why it would be that we would have thought that there's a difference in the Chayin, not because of Zika, but because of Osir Levato Mitzvat Yadmin, we have the same situation here. And that's why Rebbe Meir holds that, not because of Zika, but if you would go ahead and take one Yavama, then you might destroy the possibility of being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yibum here. Because remember, when we say the Mitzvah of Yibum, you could be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yibum through Chalitza, essentially. Either Yibum or Chalitza. If neither brother marries Yibum, either of these sisters, then we know that the problem is going to be handled through Chalitza. And both sisters will get chalitza no matter what happens. But if one of the brothers marries the Yavama, what happens if his other brother dies? The third brother dies. And he is married to the sister of this Yavama. He can't do chalitza either. So that means that by marrying the sister, he is canceling the ability to take care of the other Yavama. So therefore, yes, I understand. Theoretically, we could say, let them both come into court at the same time and both of them marry at the same time. Or we could say, make sure that they do chalitza. One of them does chalitza first. And therefore, there won't be any problem because you always do chalitza on the other one. Yes, you're right. You could. But you can't rely on that kind of thing, says Rebbe Meir, if there's a chance that you're going to end up being mevatel mitzvas yadmin. Therefore, let's keep it strictly, run it by the book, so that even people who don't know what they're doing will not end up being mevatel mitzvas yadmin, and we will tell you that you cannot take achot zekukato, even though there's not really such a thing because there's no zekukato, but we'll pretend you can't take achot zekukato. That's what Rebbe Meir is saying. But it has nothing to do with the age of Zika. Says Abaye, well, wait, now wait a minute. If you're telling me there's no din of Zika, then why do we care if you're mevatel mitzvas yadmin? This is a very strange question. Because on the surface, there's no real relationship between the issur of being mevatel mitzvas yadmin and the question of yesh zika or ein zika. And on the surface, all that Abai is pointing out is that since we do have a shita who holds ein zika, namely Rebbe Gamliel, he holds that ein zika in the case where one, this is an important case, we have to go through the case because we're going to be referring back to it again and again. The question over here is that two brothers are married to two sisters, common case that we have. The thing is that one of them is married to a sister who is a katana and is only married to him mirabana. So now she could always be mima'enet in the brother, which would, Bobby, you're falling asleep, which would annul the marriage completely, right? And then the other brother, the other wife, can get Yibum. What's the problem? So now the question is, do we insist, and we tell the Ketana, you have to be Mima Enet, and that way, if you're Mima Enet, your sister is going to be able to get Yibum. But if you're not Mima Enet, your sister's going to be left without a husband. You don't want to do that to your older sister, do you? And whose husband died, your poor older sister could actually be married to this jerk you're married to. So why don't you just say you can't stand him, walk out of the house, and then your sister will be able to take your place. A great argument for the Ketana. Anyway, so that's the question. Do we tell the Ketana, go ahead, do Mimer, you know, we'll buy you an ice cream cone. Come on, I'll take you over to Tony's, and then you can go ahead and walk out of the house, huh? I'll even give you an ice cream cone every day for the next week. Whatever, so we can get her to be Mima in it, right? But over there, Rebbe Gamliel says, there's no problem. I don't understand what the problem is. All you need to do is wait. You know, you want to hang around and wait until she becomes a Gedola. And then when she becomes a Gedola, she'll be married completely. And then when she's married completely, then the other sister won't need anything because she's going to be the actual Tsaras Erava, because you can't marry her. So there'd be no problem, right? So apparently because he holds Ein Zika, as we'll see later on, he also seems to hold that we don't care if you're going to end up being mevatel the mitzvah by saying to the girl, wait until you get older, fine. So next year you'll be a gedolah, and then you'll be really married, and then your sister will be able to go and marry whoever she wants. But Rabbi Gamliel, what happened to the mitzvah? There's a mitzvah of Yibam. So there won't be a mitzvah of Yibam. Who cares? But there's not even chalitza. So there won't be chalitza. Who cares? What, I got a bedavka, see to it. It's like, fine, yeah, you ended up without having a baguette to put tzitzis on. So what's the big deal? So you didn't put on tzitzis on a non-existent baguette. So you didn't do Yibam on a non-existent case of Yibam. What's the problem? So we seem to say, the bias seems to suggest, that since Rabbi Gamliel holds that ain zika, and also happens to hold that it's mutter levatel mitzvah yabin, wouldn't that be the same for Rabbi Meir? Where do we see this? The Tnan, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, if the little girl was mima enet, fine, very sweet of her to be mima enet, so go ahead and do it. And if she's not, so then let her older sister wait until this child gets older, and then she'll consummate the marriage b'diraisa, because now she is able to be mekabel kedushin through the actual bia of her husband. And then this one, the yavama, will then be achot isha. We don't need anything. So if Rabbi Meir holds ein zika, he should say the same thing. Now, you must admit that that's rather strange to say, why would Rabbi Meir hold like Rabbi Gamliel? And in fact, that's what the Gemara says. Amar lei, Rabbi says, stop by, what? So because Rabbi Gamliel holds that, Rabbi Meir has to hold that. That's crazy. Rabbi Gamliel, either Rabbi Meir, karamita. No, says Abai, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that what we have over here is a drastic diversion of opinions. And drastic diversions of opinions are generally a sign that something's wrong in our understanding. Because look, if you're telling me that the explanation of Rabbi Meir is, we can't be mevatel mitzvah yabmin. Why are we being mevatel mitzvah yabmin? Well, you never know. If one of them does yibam, the other one may drop dead. Oh, come on. I mean, like, what, since when are we chayish? His younger brother's going to drop dead or two. I mean, that's absurd. Let him do yibam to one and the brother will do yibam to the other. Well, you never know. So then go into Beis Din and do it at the same time. Well, maybe that won't happen. Oh, so then let the first one go ahead and do chalitza, not yibam. Well, you can't trust him. You never know. I mean, come off it, man. He's telling me in this wild possibilities that you'll end up being one case out of a million where you're going to end up being mevatel mitzvah yabnin. We're very worried about that. And Rabbi Gamliel says, go right ahead and be mevatel. I mean, isn't that a little bit extreme? That Rabbi Meir is chayish even to this crazy suffix, and Rabbi Gamliel says, even for Vadai, I'm not chayish. I think it's more reasonable to say that Rabbi Meir would agree that there's a problem of ein mevatel mitzvah yabmin. Says Rabbi Astin, why not? It's not that it's drastic. It's a question of whether it's an issue or not. If it's an issue, being mevatel mitzvah yabmin, like Rabbi Meir is saying, then even if it's a chashash, because that's the point of not being mevatel mitzvahs, is taking into consideration every possibility of being mekayim the mitzvahs Hashem. If you hold that that's not the way we look at mitzvahs, that you're trying to find the possibility of being mekayim it, but rather it's a response to the particular tzivah, which is a profound issue. So then even if it's a vada, you're not chayish. That's all. So man de lo chayish afilu lavade lo chayish, man de chayish afilu sveka chayish. I don't see what the problem is. Okay, now we know that there is a machlokes, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, and according to Rav Yehuda, who says that you're not allowed to marry your Yavama's mother even if the Yavama died because of Yesh Zika, who did Rav Yehuda get that from? Because we know Rav Yehuda always quotes either Rav, who was his first Rebbe, or Shmuel, that he went to learn with after Rav was Nifter. So says Abaya to Rav Yosef, listen, I just want you to know that what Rav Yehuda is saying over here, he got that from Shmuel, not from Rav. Because the Tanan, we're going to have the later Mishnah that says that a Shomeres Yavam, and this is the Mishnah we've been discussing, the Shomeres Yavam were one of the brothers who was a Yavam, a potential Yavam, and there were 20 brothers. This was a case that we talked about where the kid brother goes ahead. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I just took that case as an extreme, right? So the kid brother goes ahead. He's Mekadesh, the sister. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera is quoted as saying, we tell him, don't consummate that marriage. Wait until your brother does either Yibam or Chalitza. Amtenat shiyaseh achicha ma'aseh. Why? Because there's Zika. And therefore, you have to remove that Zika. You can't remove it, but your brother can. So he'll go ahead and do Chalitza Yibam, and then you'll be able to consummate your marriage with this sister, right? So then that means he is saying that there is Zika until the Zika is removed. That's the concept of Yesh Zika. And Shmuel said, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera. So since Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera, so therefore, it must be when Rabbi Yehuda was saying Yesh Zika, he was going, according to his Rabbi Shmuel Shita, that Yesh Zika. So Rabbi Yosef says, well, what do you mean it's Shmuel? Why can't it be Rav? And if it was Rav, what would be the problem? I'm assuming it would be a problem because you know that Rav Huna just said, also in the name of Rav, he said before the exact opposite. And he went, according to the halacha, that Ein Zika. That was the whole discussion that we had before, and that there is no Isser. I mean, we often find that there's a machlokas between Rav Yud and Rav Huna about what the sheet of Rav is, and we call that Amoroi Aliba the Rav. There's Talmidim who are Amoroi, Rav Yud, Rav Huna, very harsh of a people. Each one has a different approach to what Rav said. Maybe Rav was earlier saying one thing, maybe later he said, I don't know, but why does it mean that it can only be Shmuel? Says Abaya, no, come on. This is something that is worthwhile me fighting with you about. You're saying that we can just go around and have Amoroi Aliba de Rav. I mean, for God's sake, you know for a fact that Shmuel paskind like Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera. And you know for a fact that Rav Huna quotes Rav as saying that halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera. So if you can say, therefore, that when Rabbi Yehuda gave his psak, he had learned it from Shmuel and not from Rav, you're avoiding getting into an issue of claiming that Rav was bifurcated by different Talmidim. Isn't that kedai? So if you have a chance, given the Itmar Mishmeda Shmuel openly, that it's Paskins, that there is Zika, and Mishmeda Rav, you're going to have to make it a Machlokas Amoroyim. Obviously, Lo Shafkina Mishmeda Shmuel Be'edya, we're not going to take an open sack by Shmuel and say, well, that wasn't Rabbi Yehuda's source. Instead, his source was a putative Rav that we know does not exist, at least according to Rav Huna, because he said the opposite. That's crazy. You're going to go be Mukmina Kamaroy, I'll leave it to Rav. I'm sorry. I am right. It's only correct to say that this is a mimer that Rav Huna says, essentially in the name of Shmuel. Omer of Kahana, so Rav Kahana says, you know, it's so strange, because when I went, I mean, we all learn in Pumbedisa, you know, but Rav Kahana, he was the Rosh Hashiva, afterwards, and he was in Nahar Da. So what I did was I went to Rav Zvid in Nahar Da, and I said, Rav Zvid is in Nahar Da, and he said, you know, I love the way you guys in Pumbedisa have all of these discussions, which are all completely moot, and there's no basis to them at all. It's because you never get it straight in the first place. That's why I don't go to that yeshiva. Let me tell you something. The only reason you've got the problem is, Aton Hachi Matnitula, it's because of the way that you sit over Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda said it on his own, and then we had to figure out who he said it from. That's because you don't keep the halacha straight. But when we were taught this, and the way we teach it in our yeshiva is, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Shomeret Yavim Shemeta Asur B'Ima. He quoted it in the name of Shmuel in the first place, that the Shomeret Yavam is always going to be, even if she died, it's always going to be Asur B'Ima before there's a Yibam or Chalitza, and therefore we know that Shmuel was the one who said Yesh Zika, and this was Shmuel Lashitasa, because Shmuel said Alok Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and that what Rabbi Yehuda was quoting, he was quoting Shmuel. We didn't need to go through all of these, jump through all of these hoops, like you, Abaye and Rabbi Yosef, are sitting here fighting about. Boy, am I glad I went to visit Nahar Da, let me tell you. Anyway, but this is a little bit strange, because why does Shmuel have to say two completely different things? It's the same thing. I mean, here he's saying that if she dies, you can't marry the mother. That's telling me Yesh Zika, right? And then he also has to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, which is we tell him, wait until your brother went ahead and did Yibum or Chalitza before you consummate the marriage to the sister, right? So those are basically the same thing. No, they're not, says the Gemara, because imagine. Let's say that Shmuel, Liashmina Yesh Zika, let's say he would have said only the deal about marrying the mother. I would have said that's because there's only one Yavam. Like we said before, if there's only one Yavam, the Zika is very well defined. But in the case where there were more than one brother, in the 20 brother case, maybe over there, Shmuel would say, no, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that the little brother has to wait until some other brother goes in bed. There's another brother to take care of the marriage, and therefore he doesn't have any zika in the kamashmon, even in that case. On the other hand, if Shmuel had told us that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, isn't it reasonable that any normal person would have thought, yeah, but I mean, obviously if she dies, that's better than chalitza, isn't it? So, I mean, would I have thought that even if the Yavama is dead, that there's still Zika? Whereas if you get Chalitza where there's no Zika, then you are Mutranima. That sounds crazy. So obviously I would have thought, Havamina Hanimila Mechayim, Avala Achar Misa. So then obviously you can marry the mother, no? If you can marry the mother after Zika is taken off by Chalitza, Kamash Malan. That's why Shmuel is coming to tell us this incredible halacha of Zika Bichdi Lopaka, which is how we began the entire discussion. Excellent. Shnei achim, umbeit echad mehem, v'yibem ha-sheni et eshet achiv, v'chakach nolad lehem ach. So let's remember what's happened here. This is basically the second mitzvah, Mishnah in a series. Now, the first Mishnah in this series we had before, and it made clear, it sounded like exactly the same case, but that was a slightly different Mishnah. It was the Mishnah that opened up the Perek. So let's take a look at it again, and take a look right at the beginning of the Perek on Daf Yud Zayin, because I don't want you to get confused. It's essential to maintain full concentration on what's going on over here, because a lot of the Ikar Yesedus of Zika are contained within this discussion. So the original Mishnah spoke about a case of Eshet Achim Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. And remember, we have our names for that situation. Brothers Reuven, Shimon. Reuven dies in all of these cases. It's always Reuven who dies. Shimon, who is supposed to be doing Yibum. And Levi is the little child that is born. And he's going to be the one that is the Eshet Achim Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. So the first mission that we had on Daf Yud Zayin that introduced the Perek was Reuven dies and Levi is born, and then Shimon goes ahead and is Miyabem Reuven's wife, and then Shimon dies. Now the halacha in that case is that neither of the wives of Shimon are Yibamable. And that's because one of them, by Levi, that's because one of them is the Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, because when he was born, that woman was sitting there and say, oh, looky, looky, we have a little boy to do Yibum. And the little boy says, no, no, I'm too young for that. I just got born. So once she comes to him for Yibum, he is usher to her forever. That's the case. Now, the next Mishnah sounds word for word the same, except there's one crucial difference. In the next Mishnah, which we're about to learn, which we've discussed many times, Levi is born after Shimon goes ahead and does the Yibum. That's the only difference between the two Mishnahs. So, let's take a look at today's Mishnah and see what it is that it adds. So, in today's Mishnah, we have the same Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies, and now Shimon does the Yibum, and then little Levi is born. Okay, and then Shimon dies. Now, that's the only difference. When did Levi come into the world? Did he come into the world after Shimon did Yibum or before Shimon did Yibum? And it says exactly the same words. Both of these women are pturais from Yibum, be to Levi, because the first one is Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, and the second one is the tzora of the Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. The Mishnah further continues with its next case in the same way that the original Mishnah continued with the next case. And that is, if Sheni, the Sheni, meaning Shimon, remember, the Sheni we always call Shimon, if he went ahead and he did not do Yibum, and instead what he did was Ma'amar, and then he goes and dies. So in that case, the halacha is that the tzara gets chalitza, but not yibum. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, actually, and that's very simple to understand that, right? Because in that case, she wasn't the Osoba Ma'amar. Ma'amar did not really make her a Tzara, because Ma'amar is only Derabbanan, and because of that, he wasn't really married to the Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, but Midrabbanan, she is a Tzara, so she cannot get Yibum, because Midrabbanan, she's a Tzara for Yibum, but she also cannot go out without Chalitza, because the Derabbanan is not enough to take off the requirement for Chalitza to go marry someone. So that's so far so good, right? Now, the only thing that changes is that in this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon argues, and Rabbi Shimon says, well, actually, I disagree, and I believe he could be miyabing either sister, and it doesn't matter which one he does. He can be, I should say this, is either wife, he can be miyabing, or be choletz, whichever one he chooses. Now, that meant that according to Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is that Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo does not apply in this case. And he, Levi, even though he was born after Reuven died, is allowed to marry Reuven's previous wife, who is now married to Shimon. Now, the question all along is that din that Rabbi Shimon says only because Shimon had already done Yibum by the time Levi is born, which is the case in this Mishnah, and that's why Rabbi Shimon didn't say a word in the first Mishnah, because he agrees in that case when Levi was born, then Reuven's wife was still waiting for Yibum, and therefore in Levi's immediate entry into the world, he meets this woman as the brother of the wife of a brother that he never knew. Whereas, and therefore Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's the case of Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. Whereas in the second Mishnah, when Levi was born, he's introduced to this woman as Shimon's wife. Oh, nice to meet you. He doesn't even have to ever hear about the brother Reuven, because that's like prehistory. So they are not sharing the same universe. Note how this relates to the entire idea of Einstein's timeline in terms of information. That information is irrelevant, and therefore it's not part of Levi's universe. So now the question is that the only reason that we find the difference between the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah? Or is there some deeper issue that Rabbi Shimon holds that actually in both cases would not allow there to be an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo? And he would argue in the first Mishnah's case as well. He was just waiting till we finish both cases. And then he came along and he said, no, I disagree with you. Neither of those cases is Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. What would be the logic behind that position? Why would Rabbi Shimon say that when the Torah specifies that you have to be Yeshvu Achim Yachdav, that that would not apply in the case where Levi was born, even though when he was born, he still was not in a world with Reuven, and Reuven's wife was not yet married to Shimon? Why would he say there that it's not Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo? There's only one explanation, and that is that Rabbi Shimon holds that Zika is so powerful that it is, as we said, Yesh Zika. It creates the equivalent of marriage. And therefore, when Levi is introduced to Mrs. Shimon, who used to be Mrs. Reuven, he's introduced as, here is your brother Shimon's wife. Oh, really? Can I see the chasana pictures? No, there was no chasana. Gulp, says Levi, I thought I was coming into a moral world. It's a very moral world. There was no wedding because she was Zakuka. This is a very smart little boy. Anyway, but he still feels that he's never met a wife of a deceased brother because he always met the wife of Shimon. Now, despite the fact that Shimon definitely still needs to do Yibum as part of the Chiyuv of Yibum, let's understand this. When we say that Zika makes it as if they're already married, obviously, that doesn't mean that it takes away the Yibum, because then there's no Yibum by definition, since every Yibum starts off with Zika. But what it means is that the Chiyuv of the Yibum has nothing to do with the Zika any longer. In other words, the Zika has created a situation where they're already married. Now there happens to be an additional mitzvah in the Torah to do the Yibum. So what if they're already married? That's all that it means. So now the mitzvah of Yibum is disassociated from the fact of Zika. She already is Mrs. Shimon. And that is how little baby Levi was introduced to her. And therefore, it's exactly the same to Rabbi Shimon if Levi was born before Reuven, before Shimon had done the Yibum, or after Shimon had did the Yibum. Because in either event, he was always introduced to Mrs. Shimon, either as Mrs. Shimon, where's the wedding pictures? There's no wedding pictures, but there's Yibum pictures. Or he's introduced to Mrs. Shimon, where's the wedding pictures? There wasn't no wedding. It's exactly the same. The bottom line is, she is Mrs. Shimon. That's all. So these are two possibilities. Now, we're not sure. Comes along Rav Oshaya, and he says, well, I can prove to you that 100% Rabbi Shimon argues in the first Mishnah too. And as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, in either event, Levi sees this woman as Mrs. Shimon. It doesn't matter whether there was Yibum, or it doesn't matter whether it was just Zika. And I'll prove it to you. I will prove to you that Choluka Ya Rabbi Shimon Af Barishona. Rabbi Shimon argued on the first Mishnah also. How can I prove it to you? Mimai. With the fact that the first Mishnah exists, that's how I prove it to you. Gavi, where have you gone? How can I prove that to you? Because what is the purpose of the first Mishnah? I'm assuming that Gavi went to wherever Richie is, right? Wherever Daniel is. Now, if you guys would all get together, and maybe you could make a chavrusa to Chazer, right? Oh, wait a minute. I don't see you together. Okay. I'll prove it to you. Tell me what the purpose was of the first Mishnah. Explain it to me. What did I not know at the first from the second Mishnah that I suddenly find out from the first Mishnah? It makes no sense whatsoever. Explain to me, Baba Deresha, Laman Katanila, who was the author of that? For what purpose was that first Mishnah said? Okay? That's my question. So if you're telling me it's for the Rabbanan, that's ridiculous. If the Rabbanan tell me that even in the case where little brother Levi was born after, that's the second Mishnah, after Shimon had already done Yibum, and nonetheless, if Yibum came first and Levi's birth comes less, nonetheless, despite the fact that the Kriyashkecha Be'etera Ashkecha, when Levi was born, he's introduced to her as the full wife, Mrs. Shimon. That's how he was introduced to her. And nonetheless, the Rabbanan Aser Rabbanan. So what is the point of telling me a completely unnecessary first Mishnah where Levi was first born? Where the case was Yibum and then Levi was born, which is that he was introduced to her. Over there, it's Aser Rabbanan. So if he was first born and then Shimon was Miyabe, me boy, do I really need to say it? So it's a completely redundant Mishnah with no justification. It's got to be that the first Mishnah was said in order to teach me that you should know that Rabbi Shimon argues even in the case where at the time that Levi was born, Shimon had not yet done Yibum. So Ela Lavla Rabbi Shimon et Stricha. And therefore the Reisha is there because Rabbi Shimon is arguing there. And why bother mentioning the Seifa? Because the Seifa teaches me how far the Rabbanan are willing to go to Aser. And the Reisha is teaching me how far Rabbi Shimon is ready to accept Leheter. That's all. So Tana Reisha Lodiach HaKocho to Rabbi Shimon, who is Matir, even if when Levi was born, the Yibum was still not done, and therefore you might think that that means he was introduced to the original wife, not as Mrs. Shimon, but as Mrs. Reuven, and therefore she would always be Aser on him. Kamash Malan, Rabbi Shimon, no. For Zika alone, she was introduced as Mrs. Shimon. And then Tana Seifa to tell me, even if she was literally Mrs. Shimon completely and Shimon had done Yibum, nonetheless, we hold that that is the case that the Torah is asering as Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayaba Olamo. We'll see why later on the diak in the Pasuk made by the Rabbanan that lead them to take this extreme stance. So the truth is that, of course, Rabbi Shimon should have opened up his mouth right away in the Reisha and say, no, you're wrong. Actually, Levi is allowed to marry the wife of Shimon, even though Shimon had not done the Yibum at the time that he was born. And that's because of the Zika, as we'll see. But Rabbi Shimon was polite. The Rabbanan were still expressing the depth of their own Shita. And that's only going to come in the second Mishnah, where the Rabbanan say you're Usser, even if Levi was born after the Yibum of Shimon. So, Rabbi Shimon was quiet until the Rabbanan expressed the full breadth of their Shita, and then he said, gentlemen, I disagree with you on both counts. I even disagree with you in the first Mishnah, and that is the only reason that it even bothered mentioning that first Mishnah, because if Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue on the first Mishnah, then the first Mishnah gives us zero additional information, and we should have dispensed with it. So Rabbi Shimon should have been polig bereisha, elonata lul rabbanan. He politely waited for the rabbanan to finish. Ad misayme lemiltayu. Wait till they finish talking, and then hoder polig alayu. So, wait a minute, you're telling me in all of those cases? So, doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold that there's such a thing as an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo? Doesn't the Torah say Yachdav? So, what is that case? What do you mean, what is that case? It's very simple. There's one brother who dies. And now, a second brother, in this case, the second brother's name is Levi, and then he was born. And he later on wants to marry that woman. He can never marry that woman. That's all. Or for that matter, I'll tell you, you could even have the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and Shimon does not do Yibum. And what's more, Shimon does not die either. So therefore, if Shimon does not die, so then there's no way that he is ever going to be able to marry the woman who is currently Mrs. Shimon, because he is now always going to be the Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. And therefore, it would be still an Isser that would be extant forever. That would be the issue. Now, wait a minute. So I understand the logic of the case where first Shimon does the Yibum in this Mishnah, and then little Levi is born. So now he's introduced as Mrs. Shimon, which means that ki ashkeche behetera ashkeche. So when he meets up with her, he meets up with her as a woman that is the brother of a brother that exists in the same universe as him, and therefore from the beginning he was always a potential Yibum, a Yavam, to this woman. But I don't understand the logic of Rabbi Shimon saying that that's true, even if little brother Levi was nolad first and only subsequently did Shimon do the Yibum. My taima, was he not introduced to her as this is the wife of your deceased brother Reuven? Why would he been introduced to her as this is the wife of Shimon if Shimon never did anything? Well, that's because Kasava yesh Zika, v'zika k'knes adamya. Rabbi Shimon holds that Zika is so powerful, it turns her into a complete wife. That's the point. And therefore, when he's born, he's introduced to her as Mrs. Shimon. The fact that obviously there is still a mitzvah of Yibum, there's no contradiction to that. The mitzvah of Yibum exists like any other mitzvah. And if there was a mitzvah to wash her hair, I mean, what does that have to do with Zika? It's just that there's a mitzvah to wash her hair. The same thing is true over here. There's a mitzvah to take her b'Yibum and to sleep with her. So it's no problem at all. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, Levi is always an Eshet Ach who is perfectly Ba'olamo of Shimon, whether Shimon had married her, the wife of Reuven, or only subsequently married her, it's all the same. Okay, that explains it. Matki for Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that is ridiculous. And he says this to Rav Hoshaya. Remember that Rav Hoshaya is trying to claim that Rabbi Shimon argues in both Mishnayos. And the reason that he argues is because he holds Zika is Keknusa. Taina's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon cannot possibly hold that Zika is Keknusa. I'll prove it to you. If I could show you a case where even if Shimon did Ma'amar plus Zika, so not only was she Zikuka, she was also his wife because of Ma'amar. And even so, Rabbi Shimon would say, gee, I don't know if Zika and Ma'amar makes her the same as a wife. So then would you understand that it is absolutely off the wall to suggest that Rabbi Shimon holds that without Ma'amar, Zika alone would be Keknusa? We can agree on that, can we not? Okay, so now all that remains is for me to prove to you that that is exactly the case. So hold on tight, and I'm going to prove it to you. Let's just see that inside. Market for Rav Yosef. Hashta, Zika plus Ma'amar, Misafkele Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon still has strong reservations about that case and is unwilling to commit himself to say that even in that case, whether she's a Knusa or not. So Misafkele Rabbi Shimon, Ike Knusa Damya, Ilavke Knusa Damya, you're going to try to tell me that without Ma'amar, plain old Zika, there he would say, oh, definitely, she's already introduced to brother Levi, as here is Mrs. Shimon. That's ridiculous. Now, you ask me to show you that case? Okay, here's the case. Mayi, this is the case. That's not. Shlosha achin nisuin shalosh nashim nachriot. Now, the case is, we've got three brothers who are married to three unrelated women. Nice, simple case. One of the brother dies. Okay, so we'll call him Reuven, right? Shimon comes along, and he does Ma'amar to Mrs. Reuven. And now he dies. The halacha is that, say the Rabbanan, these are both chotzot v'lo mityabmot. The original Mrs. Shimon and the new Mrs. Shimon, who was previously Mrs. Reuven, neither of them get chalitza, and neither of them get yibum. And why is that? That's because the Torah says that if there were two brothers who mate echad mehem, yavama yavo aleha. But in this case, the ma'amar created a strange situation. It did not take off the zika of Mrs. Reuven, because she's still Mrs. Reuven, who's in need of Yibum. But it added a new Zika, because it turned her into Mrs. Shimon. So now, this woman is introduced as, meet Mrs. Reuven / Mrs. Shimon. Okay, but the Torah never gave a din of Yibum for a slash. It only gave a din of Yibum of Meit Echad Mehem. So there cannot be Yibum on a Mrs. Reuven / Mrs. Shimon. Obviously, this whole thing is only drabbanan, otherwise it's an absurdity, because the ma'amar sort of makes her / Mrs. Shimon. Okay, but that is enough for us to say, look, the Torah doesn't want a zika of any type of two different brothers falling to a third brother. Nothing to do with eshetak shloya bolama, okay? This is just another case where zika might be important. So don't get confused with our other case. It's a very straightforward case. Now, here's where I'm going to prove to you, said Rabbi Yosef, that Rabbi Shimon actually is unwilling to consider the case of the Zika to Mrs. Shimon, even when it's coupled with Mimer that Shimon does. I am not ready to tell you that that is considered to be a relationship. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, listen, what you could do over here is you can choose either one that you want to do Yibum, but then the second one, you're still going to have to do Chalitza. Now, why do I say that? because you cannot take both of them, B'yibo. Why? Because if there is such a thing as Zika Kiknusa, then that would mean that these two women are both Mrs. Shimon. This is the original Mrs. Shimon, and this is Mrs. Shimon who used to be married to Reuven, but now is Mrs. Shimon. No slash, just Mrs. Shimon. So if there are two Mrs. Shimons, what do we say when it comes time to do Yibum or Chalitza? We say, Bayit Echad Hu Boneh, Ve'eno Boneh Shnei Batim. Every case of Yibum where there are multiple wives to the deceased brother, only one wife can get Yibum or Chalitza, not two of them or more. So says Rabbi Shimon, gosh, maybe she really is married to Shimon. And then you're not allowed to actually take two Yevamos from the same home. So you can't do Yibum to both, okay? Now, on the other hand, why don't I just say, okay, so just do Yibum to one of them? Ah, because you can only do Yibum to one of them and pater the other one if they really are both Mrs. Shimon. But I'm not sure that the Zika and the Mimer of Shimon made her Mrs. Shimon. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe there's not Zika. Maybe Dilma ain't Zika Keknusa. And despite the fact that he also did Mamar, it's Shteyevamot Haba'ot Mishnei Batim. And therefore, how can you pater one brother's wife by being Yibum on another brother's wife? Okay, says Rabbi Yosef, do you understand what this is saying? It is saying that according to Rabbi Shimon, I have to take into consideration both possibilities, that Zika plus Mamar equals zero. So how could you tell me that in this case, when it comes to Eishes Ach Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo, Zika alone equals complete Knisa? Have I made myself clear? And therefore, your explanation about Rabbi Shimon's logic and that you find it completely reasonable for Rabbi Shimon to claim that actually a woman could be married to an Eshet Ach who was born after the death of her original husband, even if it was just because there was Zika and her new husband never had done Yibum at the time that the child was born. Well, here we see that that's simply not true. Rabbi Shimon is not ready to commit that Zika is actually the full equivalent of making her Mrs. Shimon. So I recommend that you change your mind, Rabbi Hoshaya, and you admit that actually the only thing that Rabbi Shimon was arguing on was on the case where Shimon had actually done the Yibum, and not when there was just Zika. That's what I say. Okay, so Alma Misapkarle. Now, maybe you will tell me. I know what you're going to try to tell me. You're going to try to tell me like this. V'chitem, you're going to try to tell me that, look, in reality, midiraisa, you really could have treated her as Mrs. Shimon, and you could have taken either of the Mrs. Shimons. The first Mrs. Shimon was married to Shimon 30 years before Reuven died, or the new Mrs. Shimon, who was never even married to Shimon, other than through the Zika and the Mimer, right? So that doesn't matter. Really, I hold that you could choose either one. Be Miyabin one, and the other one will be Potter. So then why am I telling you can't do that? Because the Rabbanan answered it. Because they said, look, people may not understand the logic of what's going on over here, and they may think that both of these are the same Mrs. Shimon. So why in this case, they will think that this same Mrs. Shimon that is here was once Mrs. Reuven, right? And they will say, okay, so how about if you have three brothers, one Reuven, one Shimon, and the two Yevamos fall simultaneously from two brothers who die at the same time, and people will say, okay, in that case, then the halacha would be that you could take one and the other, pater the other one. That's what they would think. I don't know. I saw the same case, they'll say. I saw exactly the same case happen, and they patered one by taking the other. Now, the fact that it is not exactly the same case at all, because in this case, there was Zika and Mimer that made her Mrs. Shimon, whereas in the other case, they are two completely different women. One is Mrs. Reuven, and one is Mrs. Shimon. So then we can't allow that to happen, because what happens if two of them fall simultaneously? There's a car accident, both brothers are killed instantly, and now the third brother is faced with these two women. He's going to have to do Yibum to both of them because they're not connected to each other. Maybe that's what it's all about. But I shouldn't jump to conclusions and say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't know for sure whether Zika is Kiknusa or not, right? That's what you'll tell me. So it's min rabbananu da'asur. Gzeira mishum shema yomru shtei yevamot haba'ot bishnei batim. One should be miabene, the other one should be miftra below klum. That's what you'll say. But it isn't true. It isn't true because Rabbi Shimon himself says that it isn't true. Well, time of the Rabbi Shimon speaks out that the reason that I don't allow this to work is because I don't know what the status is of this mimer. Listen to this braita. Amar lem Rabbi Shimon l'chachamim. I don't understand. If the mamar of the second one works, so then she is Mrs. Shimon, and he's taking Mrs. Shimon. Why can't he take Mrs. Shimon? And if the mamar of Shimon does not work, then he's marrying, the third brother is marrying Mrs. Reuven. And why is he not allowed to marry Mrs. Reuven? He has a mitzvah to take Mrs. Reuven or Mrs. Shimon. So therefore, since that's what Rabbi Shimon himself says, we now see that Rabbi Shimon cannot possibly hold that little baby Levi, who's born in a case as an ach shelohoya ba'olamo, can definitely not be called, definitely introduced to Shimon's second wife as Mrs. Shimon if Shimon never did Yibum. That proves my point, and I say forget it.